Hold on. There. We have 10% power, Captain. We're going to make it.
Full speed ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next picture. Say that in German.
Next picture?
Yeah.
Das ist nächste Bild.
Exactly what I thought. All right.
That's right.
Good guess.
Numerus
31. 1, 2, 3.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We can go all the way up.
All right. Now, you know, 1, 3, 2, right? Anyway, appears in a song. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't? Oh, lucky you. I'm going to play it for you.
Okay.
So, all I have to do is find it. Just a moment.
I'm not going anywhere.
It's a story.
Not until we get off the air, then I got to take Asha for a walk.
No, you got it backwards.
Yeah.
This is a story of a Prussian prince.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three words. Let's see. Hold on.
Is this Mario Lanza?
You're psychic. But name the movie.
Student Prince.
Two for two.
I like
name
that
the
movie.
Song. Name the song. Well, he wasn't in it. Just his voice.
No, but he sang it, yeah.
I don't know how many Sigmund millions.
Sigmund Romberg wrote it.
You got it. Okay, let's see here. Okay.
I forget who the star was, but I know...
Edmund Purdom, and Mario never saw the film. He wouldn't go near it. It bombed terribly. Okay, let's see here. 25. Okay, here we go. Now, here's the...
A highly efficient hybrid water heater may not seem too exciting.
Go away. All right, here. They're drinking beer.
Salamander Rex.
Drink it down in one breath.
Drink, 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 drink. Eins, zwei, drei, vier.
There you go.
Lift your stein and drink your beer.
Drink, 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 let the drink, this man.
All right, there you go.
He did pretty good for a piano mover from Philadelphia.
Yeah,
if you
did.
Sleep on your
he
side,
was,
I bet you hate your.
He was the biggest star in show business in 1951 in movie business.
Yeah,
the biggest.
Yeah, he had a God-given voice, man. Awesome.
Yeah, never be another. There's no no joke, no exaggeration, none.
Probably okay. True. Total 31, Einar Drysik.
You know, I have his most famous pop song was Be My Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they made a gold ring with a beautiful white gold musical staff and a piece of musical script.
Uh-huh.
And Be My Love went, I can't sing, went up. Be
you
my
and me
love.
Both.
Okay. And so what happened, Be My Love, they put on the ring with diamonds those three notes going up the musical staff.
Wow.
It's a ring. And he wore it all the time. Guess where that ring is?
At your place.
Yeah. It's quite a piece.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was quite a guy. Quite a hell of a singer. Sad life story, but one hell of a singer.
The best. Okay. Back to the photos. Number
31. Now, this is a photo not many people had seen, except after they plagiarized it from me. U-37, which was an old Type 9 boat. From before the war. It was built before the war. But here we see it in 1944. It's retrofitted with a Type 21 conning tower.
Huh.
The skipper was Werner Hartmann, and his son, I can't remember his name. He was a member. No, his son was Werner. He was a member of Shark Hunters, but then I guess he got old, either died or dropped out. But this was an experimental boat. They took off the old, they didn't take off the old conning tower. The pressurized part is still inside of this. This is a fairing on the outside, but up there you see the captain with his white hat.
Right.
In front of him is the hydraulic mounted anti-aircraft guns. Used to be you had to have a guy swivel the gun around and point it, etc. With the Type 21 conning tower, it was hydraulically operated. As a matter of fact, on one of the Type 21 boats that had it, I think it was the first watch officer or somebody was in the wrong place at the wrong time when they rotated the hydraulic conning tower, anti-aircraft pod, and crushed him.
Ouch.
Yeah, I bet he said more than ouch.
Yeah. No. Okay, very good. Next. Well, when you say, wait. When you say hydraulic, that doesn't mean remote control. That means when you're manually moving it around, it's got hydraulic assist, so it's easy.
Right. It was originally designed to have 30-millimeter anti-aircraft guns, but they never got the guns ready in time, so they put in the 20 millimeters.
Wow. Did they ever put an 88 on the deck?
Oh, yeah, on the Type 7s. Now, this was not the same 88 that's famous for the anti-aircraft 88. This is a whole different gun. It was 88 millimeters, but it was a totally different gun on the Type 7s. The Type 9s had 105s, but not the same 88 gun that they used for anti-aircraft.
Right, okay. All right. And we want to say a little bit about chivalry, all right?
Okay.
No, the Germans didn't sink boats and laugh at the crew when they drowned. It didn't happen that way early on. They would often and usually go up next to the sinking boat and ask if they could be of any assistance. I mean, it was just you don't hear
about
that.
On the lifeboats,
yeah. It didn't,
definitely.
Yeah, and it didn't get mentioned in the New York Times for some strange reason.
These we can buzz by. Number 32, just to show you the some of the petty officers on U-40. But then if we look on number 33, you see another submarine that got a little close to the boat up above, the ship above. Only this was a combat setting. The skipper of U-40 six was Engelbert Endras, who was pretty well accepted. He was the guy that sank the British battleship Royal Oak, even though Günther Prien was given the credit, because Günther Prien was the skipper of U-47. Endras was the first watch officer, and it's generally accepted that he's the one that set up the attack. Anyhow, he got his own boat here, number 46, and you can see what happened to the conning tower when he got a little close to a surface ship, came up underneath it, crunched his tower a little bit.
Hmm. That Royal Oak ship?
Yeah, but 46 did not sink Royal Oak. 47, U-47 sank Royal Oak, but Engelbert Endras, at that time, was the first officer on U-47, and he set up the attack. And then they gave him his own boat, which was U-46.
Well,
he and Eric Topp, our friend Eric Topp, were best buddies. They, the U-boat in the U-boat Waffe, they were called Castor and Pollux, best buddies. And then Endras was killed in action.
Castor and Pollux is the name of a dog food, a very good line of dog food. It is.
Okay.
Castor Pollux, I think.
Okay.
Castor
could have been. Actually, that's a constellation in the sky, isn't it? The twins.
You're asking me? I know the Big Dipper.
Okay. Photo 34 is also the same conning tower. They were coming into port. And I'm sure that crashed up conning tower was a source of great pride,
right?
Because they came back and that showed that they talk about close combat. That's close.
That's close. Number 35.
Skipper
is all.
That is U-47 and Günther Prien, who was the guy. He was actually the commander of U-47. It was his boat, and he was the only U-boat guy to be given a Knight's Cross in 1939. October of 1939 is when he sank Royal Oak, and when they got back, you click over to photo number 36, and that's them. I got them outlined in yellow. They're coming back into harbor, a hero's welcome, and that's the cruiser. I think that's Prince Eugene behind it. And everybody is lining the rails because they had sunk a battleship.
They did. The two direct hit, that was a perpendicular attack. I mean, that submarine was just like it. Imagine the capital T, and the battleship Royal Oak was the top of the T, and that sub was right, it was at anchor, the battleship. And they just hit it right smack in the middle with three shots. Did Prien give the order to fire, or was that the first officer?
We'll never know. The book says that Preen was the one who did it. And another interesting thing about U-47 and Gunter Preen, who sank U-47? If you look at some of the books and listen to some of the people on those internet sites, it was the destroyer HMS Wolverine. But in actual fact, U-47 sank itself. It had a circular running torpedo. That was not uncommon. We lost several American subs the same way. But there was a Naval Board of Inquiry some years after the war, and Otto Kretschmer was part of it. And they looked at the logbooks, and U-47 was on the other side of the battlefield, miles away from HMS Wolverine. And they checked on the other logbooks, and it was the German submarine UA that was getting beat up by HMS Wolverine. And U-47 just had a circle runner and killed itself. You still got a battery? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I do. It's down to 4%. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all right. We're okay.
Number?
This is a second here. Let me check
Roger that.
Again. This is 5%. All right, it gave me an early warning. Now, since you asked, we're just going to play a little bit more music here. No, not yet, Todd. We're all right. All right, now. Oh, this is too good. Here we go.
In my heart will not fade. For him, my serenade. My moon, my blossoms on the bough. Nothing is heard but the song of a bird filling all the air with dreaming. Could this beauty last forever? Nothing more, believe me. Let this night but live
forever. Okay.
That's from the movie Serenade.
That is the serenade from the movie Serenade.
In which he plays a
Russian
grape
prince.
Picker, and that's how he got discovered by some wealthy lady.
No, that was Serenade, the movie. They had a movie named Serenade.
Yeah,
this
that's
was
what
called,
I meant.
That movie was The Student Prince. Serenade was made 3 years later, 1955.
Mm, okay.
Okay.
Switch to number 37, photo 37.
This is
the submarine U-48, and you see all the cans of food on the deck.
Yeah.
Now, if you look up at the very top of the conning tower where the paint's peeled away and everything, you see what's part of a black Tomcat. And if you look closely, there's an X3 underneath it. So, in other words, that's Dreimalschwarzkater. In other words, three times black Tomcat. This was the most successful submarine of the whole war. Under three skippers, they sank over 308,000 tons of shipping.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah, and if you go to the next photo, 38, that guy on the bridge with two rings on his sleeve over Lloyd Dunsersey, that is Teddy Suren, who was the first officer, and he was the one setting up all the torpedo shots for all three of the skippers. All three of them won the Knight's Cross, But the last one, Blechrode, said he would not go to, he would not accept his Knight's Cross unless they gave Teddy Suren a Knight's Cross, because he was the one doing all the shooting. And then later on, when Suren got his own boat, I think it was number 546, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was he came back after a very successful patrol. He was pulling up to the dock, and the band was there, and all the high-ranking officers and everybody was there. And with his megaphone, he yelled out, "Are the Nazis still in control? Well, the Socis. Are the Socis still in control?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, of course they are." And he said, "Then full speed astern, we're getting out of here." But he had already been decorated with the Knight's Cross and oak leaf, so he could get away with a little of that.
Very good.
Then you hop over to 39. This is interesting. This is the radio control panel of that boat. In the upper left-hand corner is a 48 Dampfer. Dampfer is a steamer. So they sank 48 steamships. And on the upper right, you see 308-507. That's how many tons they sank. You look to the A, and just above that is Schutze. That was the skipper, and that's how many tons he sank. The B, you look to the right, and that's Reusing. He was a member of Shark Hunters. Hmm. And then to the far right, Blechrode. C, he's the one who said he wouldn't accept his Knight's Cross unless they gave one to Teddy Suren as well. And if you have time, you know, your people can come back and look at that. They can see what all the different scores were and everything. And this was the actual radio panel.
Wow. That's still around now? Gone, right?
No, they've broken up.
Yeah.
And number 40 is an interesting thing. Remember I sent you an email and said, I guess I can't say such and such on the air?
Yeah.
This guy was the biggest such and such in the whole Kriegsmarine. He cost more U-boaters their lives. He was first officer on board this boat, or he was commander in training. He was, I'm not sure he was, I think he was nuts. Before the war, Otto Kretschmer was a cadet. He and a couple other cadets were having a beer in a beer garden about 10 o'clock at night, and this guy, Romlo, shows up. He was an officer already, and he sat down there talking, and Romlo told him that he was insane, or he was crazy or something. And he pointed up to where the mental institution was. He said, "I'm supposed to be in there." And Kretschmer says, "Well, why aren't you there now?" And Romulo says, "We can be out until 9 o'clock at night." And Kretschmer says, "It's already 10 o'clock. And Romulo says, "Yeah, see, that proves I'm crazy." Okay, Romulo later on became commander of U-570, I think it was.
Hold it right there, Harry. I got to take a break. I'm going to charge up here during the break. We'll come back and finish the story of Romulo. He looks nuts, frankly. Looks like there's something wrong with him. Hold on a minute. Okay, and back with Harry. And I have 6%. Let's see if we make it. Lost World War II U-Boat Photos, Volume 1, authored by Admiral Harry Cooper, and released for the first time, these pictures, never seen before. Okay, where are we, number...
40.
40, okay, 40.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story about this one, then I'll tell
you... Wait, what about
Romulo's on photo 40.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
I'll finish that story, and then I'll tell your listeners about our special offer. Okay, Romulo.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I told you he was a goof at best. They gave him command
like
of a submarine U-570.
Yeah.
Hmm?
He looks like an idiot.
Okay.
He doesn't have the bearing of a captain or a commander or anything.
Unfortunately, they gave him command. He was a captain lieutenant. He commanded U-570. And you remember the scene in Das Boot where the one skipper was drunk and passed out in the toilet and was puking all over himself. Ramlow and his crew had a night like that ashore, and then they went out the next day on their sub. They were hungover. The weather was rough. They were bouncing around. They were drunk, hangover, seasick, and they got bounced by a British aircraft. And the pilot of the airplane told them to surrender and stay on the surface or he'd sink them. So Ramlow says, okay. So they stayed on the surface for hours until British naval forces got there, took these guys prisoner, and took the submarine back. And one thing, they renamed it HMS Graff, and they wanted to use it as a lure out in the Bay of Biscay to where another sub would see it and maybe come alongside. That didn't work. However, they analyzed the submarine and found out that the German submarines could go two times deeper, at least, than the British and the American subs. 300 feet was about the end of it for an American or a British sub, but these things were going 600, 700, 800 feet down. So the Brits then reset their depth charges, and how many
did he kill with that?
That's right.
Ramlow,
so
idiot.
The Brits had enough sense not to put him in a POW camp run by the Navy where all the U-boaters would go. They put him in a Luftwaffe camp, and nobody knew who he was. But they put the rest of them in the U-boat camp where they had all the U-boat prisoners. Mm. Kretschmer was the officer in charge, and they had an honors court for the first officer and found him guilty that he should have seized control from Ramlow and not let the submarine get taken. So he asked if he could commit suicide, and they told him, no, you got to escape and get to where the port is and blow up the sub. So the guy escaped, but he didn't get far. Some of the home guard grabbed him, and he started to run, and they shot him full of holes. So Ramlow survived the war and lived a very quiet, unassuming life afterwards. I don't think he'd want to make his presence known.
I wonder if the plane stayed overhead during all the time he waited to be captured.
Yeah, the plane stayed until it was running low on fuel, then it was replaced by another plane, and they kept air over him the whole time until the destroyers got out there. And they told him that if he tried to dive, they would destroy the submarine and would make no effort to rescue any survivors. So, you know.
Got it. All right.
But what a clown. Anyhow, this book is available, and normally it's $25 or $20 to members plus $8 shipping. But if your listeners want to order the book, you got to order it through us because it's not up on our website yet. We'll make it $25. And we'll pay the shipping. So your members, your listeners can send us an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and say they want to buy the book at $25, and we will pay the shipping, and we'll take it from there.
Very nice. All right, very nice. So just go to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. I mean, sharkhunters.com is the site, but the email.
Right.
To request the book is sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Okay.
That's it.
Now, somebody's asking me about the ring, Be My Love ring that they gave him. First million seller ever by a so-called classical music artist, 1950. In case you don't know the song, this was the song of the year, without any question.
Be
here's just
my
the opening
love
part. Yeah.
No one
it's
else will
good.
Yearning.
That's right. All right. Here we go.
I'm sure he sounds better than me.
Not much.
Right.
You're good, Harry.
Right.
Here we go. Let's see.
Be my love. For no one else can earn this yearning.
fill my arms, the way you filled my dreams, the dreams that you inspire with every sweet desire. Be my love, and with your kisses set me burning.
All right, you get the idea. And then... And that's what's on the ring, though. The three diamonds on the musical score are, are representative of the end.
Be my love.
The beginning, rather. Here's the end. This is what did it.
We'll find love's promised land. There'll be no one but you for me.
All right. Anyway, I'll send you a picture of the ring. He wore the heck out of it, you can tell. It's beautiful.
I can imagine.
And that musical score with those three diamonds, Be My Love, right there. And he was very proud of that. Always was.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It was fun. Okay. Back to work. No.
Total
is
41 is the submarine U-59. And I just put that up there to show that the... there's Chamberlain, the Umbrella Man.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
We switch over, you know, for a little more human touch. Photo 42, that was sent to us by Conrad Levitz. We have a bunch of photos that he sent us. This is summer in Norway, 1940, on board U-60. You just see four of the crew just hanging around. They got a, they got a few bottles there. Then switch to the next one. Some of these go together, so we'll skip, you know, we'll go quickly. Number 43, are we having fun yet? You know, this is
right.
In Norway. The recruiting sergeant didn't tell him about this. Then photo 44, it must be mighty damn thick ice for him to be able to sit on the ice and hang on to the nose of his submarine. That's Conrad.
I would say. Yeah.
Then we look at some of the other photos. 45, for instance, it's Christmas. You can see the little tinsel thing there on the table. That's their Christmas tree. Young men in the military just screwing off like every young person in the military. Go to photo 46, and you'll see there's a guy smoking a pipe. Two guys. The two guys standing are smoking pipes. They're all of about 18 years old. We did the same thing when I was in the military, that show that you're a man now. You're smoking a pipe. And then click over to number 47.
Right now, this is on board?
No, this is on an accommodation ship.
Got it. Okay.
And Christmas time.
They're just kids. They're just kids.
Yeah.
Look at the kid in the middle with a cigarette. He looks like he's about 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be 18, I think, to join. And then where I circled in yellow, somebody drew a caricature. You know, they were kids, yes. But I remember, okay, and my best friend over there, Hess, was 21 years old, and they gave him command of a combat submarine. I'm thinking, holy smoke, at 21, here I am at my age looking back. And then I remember when I was 19 years old, I was commanding a six-man team loading hydrogen bombs onto heavy bombers. 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
What can you say? So anyhow, we're still on this U-62, photo 48. We see the guys all sitting on a railing, peeling potatoes. I think no matter what military you're in, you got to peel potatoes. We didn't in the Air Force. We had a machine to do that.
Well.
Photo 49, that's the same group. Now they're on deck eating. Mm-hmm. Their lunch. This obviously was not in a combat area.
Right.
Did we leave off?
50.
Oh, yeah. This is U-66 It had just taken on fuel from U-117, which was not a milk cow type 14. It was actually a type 10B mine layer boat, but nobody was able to lay mines in somebody else's harbor, so they were using them to refuel. And you can see by the smoke behind U-66 and the wake behind it, it's getting underway. U-117 got caught flat-footed, and the bomber hit it. And one of our members was on board U-66 during this time. He's passed on now. But he said that U-66 dived right away, and a few minutes later they could hear sinking sounds as 117 sank past them, and they could hear it crushing. Yeah, not a good thing.
All right.
And then the next photo, number 51, is U-66 back in port. Mm-hmm. Unloading its stores that it's not needed because it's going into the shipyard, and the vessel to the right of U-66 is a tanker, and it's siphoning or sucking out most of the diesel fuel out of U-66. Fuel was already a shortage, so they were putting it into another submarine.
Okay. We're not going to make it through all the rest of these.
No kidding. If you want, I can come back next week for the rest of them. It's your call.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. We'll do that.
Sure.
We'll come back for an hour and finish these up. I have one. I got to ask you about photo number 67.
67. Yes.
What the hell's going on there? What's going on there?
Let's look at photo 66 first, and that explains it. This boat, U-108, is crossing the equator. And that's not a woman there, the guy on the left. That's a guy dressed like a mermaid. And the guy with the wild whiskers, that's King Neptune. So this is the traditional crossing the equator, where you become from, you change from being a polywog to being a shellback. And in King Neptune has to bless you. And now in photo 67, they slobber all sorts of crap on people who have never crossed the equator before.
I see.
Then this guy is scraping off the filth from the northern hemisphere. That's the way the tradition goes. My dad went through that when he was a sea cadet at about age 17, I think.
You know,
they're just having fun.
Got it.
And
We'll go back and pick up a couple more where we were.
Okay. We were on 52 was the next one.
Right.
That's U-68 under command of our member Carl Friedrich Merton. And this is not a pleasure cruise with people sunning themselves on deck. These are some of the survivors from the Atlantis. I think it's Atlantis or maybe it's Laconia. I'd have to look at my files. No, I think it's Laconia. But I'm not sure. So they pile as many people as they could on there, and hopefully they don't get attacked.
Yeah, how many went down with the Atlantis? Do we know?
Atlantis, I don't think anybody died because they scuttled themselves. They were hailed up by a British cruiser. I think it was Devonshire, but I'm not positive. And the cruiser had 11-inch guns, and Atlantis only had 6-inch guns, which means the cruiser could fire almost twice as far. And so it stayed out of range of the Atlantis guns, and Atlantis kept saying it was a different ship and just a freighter and all that. And so then the cruiser said, we know who you are, and they were going to shell him. So then they just set fire to Atlantis and went over the side into the lifeboats. And German subs picked them up. The cruiser didn't want to stick around because they knew there were U-boats in the area. And a cruiser has really no defense against a submarine. That's why they have to have destroyers with them. So that'd be 52. Should we go to 53? Uh-oh, are you out there, Jeff? I think Jeff's battery has just gone fizzle. Okay, next picture is number 53. And that, the reason I rang this up, you see the circle, that item in the circle is called a Biscaya Kreuz or the Biscay Cross. This was the early radar warning. It was kind of like, they called it a broomstick
Yeah, it looked like a broomstick.
Yeah, and just the wires around it, and they would come up on the bridge and put this thing up, and then if they had to have a crash dive, they would just pull it out and throw it down the hatch and take it apart later. Very rudimentary, but I guess it managed.
Did it work?
Yeah, to a point.
So it would pick, it's radar, but it would pick up aircraft and ships?
No, surface, primarily surface radar. It would start buzzing their radio, and that way they knew they were being radioed.
I see. They were picking
whatever.
Up signals, not
yeah,
actual
right, exactly.
images of hardware. Okay.
Right. And if you go to, well, it picked up the British radar pulses, said that somebody was beeping them.
Got it.
So if you go
all
to
right.
number 54, that's the roster of U-76. Under A, those are the sailors, the seamen, the deck apes.
Right.
B, those were the guys that were at the Centrale, the central control room.
Right.
C, diesel, those were the diesel men. D was E-machine, which is the electrical motors, electric motors. E, those are the torpedo men. F, Funker, that means radio operators. And on the far right, it gives their rank. So these are some of the things we have in our files. We've got so damn many files. But then you look at the next picture, number 55, that's the same crew, and I've circled that guy. You can tell by the helmet, he's a British Tommy, and that's not a good thing for the crew, but at least they're alive. They went into prisoner camp.
Got it. Wow. Okay. Give the information again about how to get the book. This is
okay,
very,
fine. Just,
very unusual book. Yeah.
Send us an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say you want to order this book, The Lost U-Boat Photos of World War II, the title that you gave us. And then just 25 bucks, and we'll pay the shipping, which saves you $8.
Very good.
Because we send it by priority.
That's about $8.50 now, priority.
Is it? Okay, almost. I thought it was $7.98, but something like that.
Well,
but we'll
maybe
pick
for
up
you
the shipping.
East Coasters, it's more up here.
I hear an organ playing.
It won't sound very good on the phone, but here's the sound of a diesel engine of a German U-boat.
Yeah,
pretty
how would
remarkable
you like to
motor.
Yeah, how would you like to spend your whole 2-month cruise in the diesel engine room with all that racket? Pretty much
what?
The same with American submarines, because I fired off the engine. I started the diesel engine on USS Silversides many years ago.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty amazing engine they built. I don't know how many cylinders it had.
In the Type 7s, they had a 6-cylinder MAN, and on the Type 9s, they had a 9-cylinder MAN, or 2 9-cylinder MANs. And they used those engines for powering generators, for instance, down in Argentina, in San Carlos de Bariloche, on that secret island where they had a nuclear research facility
right.
after the war. We
how'd
were
they
there.
Get an engine, how'd they get a 9-cylinder submarine engine onto that island?
By barge, the same way they got trucks onto the island.
Mm-hmm.
By barge.
Wow.
Or maybe they waited till wintertime and drive
across
the
ice. I wonder
where
they got the engine, though, Harry. They didn't take it out of a U-boat. Or did they?
Well, we are following some information that indicates they were building submarine accessories there in Argentina.
Huh. Very good. All right. More on that. So we'll have Harry back next week, and we'll do the remaining pictures and so forth. Congratulations on the book. That's a lot
Thank
of work.
You.
Unprecedented images that people have never seen before. So good job, as always. Well
Thank
done.
You.
You're welcome. Thanks for being
and
here
I'm
tonight. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Don't get that damn, don't even go near anybody with that shot.
No. Any of the members I know who are doctors, they run from it. The nurse at the VA where I had my physical last week, she said, no way am I having that stick.
Yeah, they know. They know. Very good.
So.
All right. Excellent.
All right.
Talk
now
soon.
I go walk Asha out there in the middle of the night, and hopefully there's no more druggies out there.
Yeah, that's it. Hope not.
No, he got
all right,
arrested
you be well.
Monday.
Say
have
hi
a good
to
weekend,
Asha.
Jeff.
And everybody. Okay. Talk to you. All right, there he goes, Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com, one of the most, without question, fascinating and